name's Hendre, and we are from the Stellenbosch Central Congregation. We have an AM, a PM, and a Central, and it's great to be with you. My wife and my two daughters couldn't make it this morning. We've had off time this last 3 weeks. We've welcomed in our newest family member, our fourth family member, second daughter, Lana, into the world. Pray for us. So we're very much back into the trenches and late nights and waking up always. You actually just don't go to bed. But it's incredible. It's fun. It's amazing. It just feels right and it feels good. And I actually want to say thank you to this congregation. We had Ants with us about 3-4 weeks ago. What a blessing, man. And I think just being able to sit, you guys being able to sit underneath him and his leadership and the elders' leadership, incredible. I think what he came to break open, it just feels like a door flew open in our congregation. In this past 3-4 weeks, they can testify there's been a sense of momentum and life and love and just the presence of God. So thank you, Ants and the elders, just for that. And yeah, just maybe back on my second daughter, the first time when the first one was born, yes, you stressed, eh? That first time your wife goes in, you don't know what to expect. Both of them were cesarean, and you're just like, how is this operation? They all tell you not to look, but I like looking. And you go in, and in that time, it wasn't something physically that happened to me, but because of all the stress, I went into ER the first time. And the medical bills for Henry was way bigger than my wife, and I was on a drip there and all of those type of things. But the other elders didn't wait until I was back to tell the whole congregation what happened. But the second time was actually quite incredible for me. Let me just start my timer. Never trust a preacher without a timer, eh? They go on. That plane lands for 2 hours. I'm coming to a land. But the second time was so amazing for me because you can actually take in what is about to happen. Welcoming a new family member, welcoming in my daughter, and we went through all of that, and I don't know if it's like a more modern day thing, but we do skin to skin these days, okay? So I had the privilege of the nurse taking me and little Lana's her name, into this room, and I could just embrace her. I could take off my shirt in the warmth of my body against her, and I beheld her, and I looked at her, and it just hit me in that moment. First time in a whole life taking a breath. And I saw that little lungs exercising and trying what's busy happening. And then she cries again, and I speak to her, and I hold her, and I speak to her, and I try to explain to her what is about to happen. All the parents are like, oh, that moment. It's amazing. It is incredible. It is incredible to all the singles. It's incredible. You'll get there. But there's something of that moment that the Lord spoke to me. And he said, just as your body holds this new child, is like the body, the church, holding visitors, holding new people, and the warmth and the embrace of God's body. We were designed to bring people out of confusion into warmth and into love. There's something that we've been designed by God to be filled with love, that many individuals can come into the knowledge of Christ through you and I. Do you believe that about yourself? It's not the church as in Kells River, Josh Den, as in the name. It's every individual sitting in this room, called and commanded by God to love people into warmth and into love. And we have the privilege not only to love in a skin-to-skin session or as a visitor walks through the door, but I will have the privilege of walking my daughters one day through the ups and downs of life. Likewise, the church will be able to love people through the ups and downs of life. And this morning, very simplistic, basic, yet deeply profound message. The title of my message is, Let's Love Well. That's it. You can summarize this whole message in that 3 words. Let's love well. It's not even a preach this morning. It's more of a prophetic message or extended prophetic word to you as a congregation. Let Kells River love well for Christ. Amen. Need to get Sherman up here. Amen. And there's something that I felt from the Lord for you, that God wants to take many of us this morning and reposition you for purpose. because there is something in us that we need to recognize that we long for purpose. We long to be used and recognized and to find our little puzzle piece in the bigger scheme of life. May that be in our family, may that be in our work, but ultimately needs to be in God's design, which is His church, that we find our little puzzle piece. And what I felt this morning for many of us, that when you look at your own Christianity and you look where you are with God, it feels a little bit weighty. It feels a little bit empty and purposeless, or it feels like you're doing the right things when it comes to the checklist of what it means to be a Christian, but yet there feels a little bit of a, is this it? Amen? We may be honest in the church, okay? That is a good thing. I know nobody wants to say it, but sometimes we feel dry, we feel, what's going on? And even some of us might feel, I struggle to go to a Wednesday comm group, our small groups is called communities, or to a Sunday, because maybe they're going to tell me I need to do another thing. I need to add another thing to my plate. There's something else I need to do again for the Lord, and it feels that it's no longer this delight, but this duty. And I believe the Lord wants to come and reposition that and even change that way of thinking within us. How does He want to do that? 1 Corinthians 13, okay? We are in a congregation. I married Anton and Jenya a couple of months ago, and they are in love, okay? They're the love couple in our midst. And every second wedding you get to, they preach out of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and love is kind. And Anton has memorized it, so if you want to know the rest of the scripture, you can just ask him. But the thing what we miss about 1 Corinthians 13 is that the chapter doesn't start there. That's verse 4. But verse 1 starts off by saying that if you can speak in tongues of angels, if you can expound all mysteries, if you can have, it's on there. So I'm not lying, okay? There we go. If you have faith to remove mountains and you have all these abilities and miracles, or even that you're so generous to offer your body, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. Amen. Amen. Like, yo, if you don't have love, meaning what it is saying, if you have all the power in the world, but you don't have love, it just equals performance. Love is the substance that fills the church. It fills our duties, and it fills our acts, and it fills the things that we do and our good works for the Lord. It needs to be filled with love. Otherwise, it feels weighty. It feels empty. It feels misdirected. It needs to be filled with love. And that's what I felt this morning, that God wants to, everything you're doing, keep on doing it for the Lord. Just add a little bit of love. Just add the substance which makes the car move forward. It's more valuable than petrol even these days. It's love. Amen. Yes. John 13:35 says the following, "But this all people will know that you are my disciples." I know the rest is up there, but quickly pause there. "By this the whole world will know that we are the church, are set apart for Christ. By this one thing, by the love you have for one another." Love will be the defining factor if you are a born-again believer. It's the mark of a believer. It's the mark of a Christian. It's a mark of a healthy church. Do they love well? That's incredible. And I believe that is what God wants to come and do within Kells River. He wants to let this congregation, and was shared this morning as well, to be a beacon of love to this neighborhood. You weren't planted here 3 months ago just for, because we didn't have any other venues. God is not surprised by venues being lost and being redirected and things happening. He's into the business of messiness, to fill it with love and to plant a beacon of love so that hundreds and hundreds of individuals can walk through these doors and experience the warmth of God's body embracing them. I can't wait for December to come back here, so that it's filled at the bottom, it's filled at the top, because this congregation extended themselves that little bit to love well. Everybody needs some love. There's a sense of everybody wants to be loved. I love, there's a psalm that speaks about the sparrow and the swallow will find rest and will find a house in the house of God. The sparrow is one of the most common birds, the common bird in the world. There's like 1 billion sparrows everywhere. Meaning that in the world's eyes, even those that seem insignificant, just common, just like everyone else, will have significance in the house of God. The swallow being a restless bird, I think 70 to 80% of his life, he just flies around. How many people are just flying around, never landing, never coming into embrace of family and to love because of their own brokenness and hurt? Maybe even some of us, when we come to church, we always feel like an imposter and keep at arm's length. It's like, I'm going to be here for now, but I can't let people come too close. But God says, in my house, they will find rest. Rest for their souls, rest of that restlessness of the brokenness. In my house, you can rest. Beautiful, eh? John 15, 12 to 13. If there's one scripture that you would love to memorize this month, this is a good one. Jesus says, this is my command, that you love one another in this way, as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. I love scripture because it challenges me deeply. If you look at these things, it just feels like, how is it possible that in these two verses, that there's so much in it that it doesn't give me any breathing room? Jesus makes a very bold statement in this moment, and he says, this is my command. This is not my suggestion. This is not my just here on the side checklist that I'm giving you. This is my command. That is weighty, bold words that was given to us and to his church, that we are commanded by God to love. It's not optional. You guys get that? It's not based on our preference. When we prefer to love, then we will love somebody. Or when it fits my criteria, then I love. No, it's a command. And we get this thing of real and ideal, okay? We know in the real, it's quite difficult to love and my schedule and my children and I'm tired and all of that. God doesn't just wait for the ideal moments to love. He wants to, in the messy church, in the real, to love there. Incredible. And the other thing about just the scripture is that love is not just tolerating someone. Amen. And it's also not an emotion, because then some people will just be able to love more than others, and that command can't apply to everyone. So it's not an emotional thing. So what is it then? Then love is actually an active decision of the will to give yourself to someone else. It's a decision. Anton doesn't wake up every morning. Okay, maybe Anton. Zenia, let's pick on Zenia today. Zenia doesn't wake up every morning just like, I love Anton. Just like she sees hearts. Sometimes it's just like she literally woke up on the other side of the bed. It's just like, this is difficult. And an active decision of the will needs to be made. Anybody getting married or have been married for more than 4 days will know that. It's not always easy. Even on honeymoon. Okay. And love is also, the definition of that word love is to wish well, or to take great pleasure, or you delight in someone. There's a sense in this word of that you long for them. And it's not only for in those in close proximity. When last have you been sitting at work and you just, oh, I long for my community. I long to be with them. I long to see their faces. I long to take great delight in them. I need to be at church because I long to, there's going to be a stranger there. I long to love them and wish them well and welcome them in with great warmth and embrace. That's what the word means. And sometimes we struggle even with our spouse to do that, or our children. How much more even beyond that the Lord is commanding us and calling us to have, be filled with love. And maybe to tell some stories, about 10 years ago, I had the privilege to preach at a youth group in Wellington. I later on led that youth group, but back then I was the youth guy was gone, and I got the opportunity to preach. I think it was my second or third time. And that evening, there a lot of life and people and kiddos running around, and there was this one little boy that visited that Friday night. He was 1 year younger than the required age of being at youth. He was 12 years old, so it's more like junior youth age. But his brother brought him, and we're like, whatever, come join us. And the whole night, I tried to engage as much as possible in a conversation with a 12-year-old. It's usually something like, hello, Khanet, nie goed? Okay. That's like the basis of your, that's it. I tried to engage with him, but something in me was drawn to this little man. He was tiny guy. And throughout worship, we put off the lights, because it's not church. There we put off lights. And we go for it, and that guy was there on the right-hand side. He was just standing there in worship, and here and there, reading the lyrics and singing along. Then I got the opportunity, till today, I can't remember what I preached, but I preached, and afterwards I gave the invitation, just like I'm going to do today. I'm going to give the invitation to come to Christ. Amen. The best invitation in the world, to come to Christ. There's a day for salvation, and it's called today. I love the Bible. It's so logic and simplistic. Today, the door is open for everyone. And that Friday night, the door was open for everyone. And I asked the invitation, and a little hand went up, and it was that boy. I'm like, Lord. And afterwards, we pulled our chairs to one another, and I could pray for him, and he was a little bit teary and smiling, and you could see that this is a young believer taking their first breath. They're like, they're confused, and what just happened, and something is happening in the heart, and I could explain a little bit, but obviously not a lot of time with the craziness, like kicking balls across your head, and you're trying to pray, and it's crazy youth. It's just like, then you know someone's safe when they get saved in youth, because it's just crazy. It's not like a controlled environment, you know. And that week, I knew his brother that was like 5-6 years older, and his mom, and I asked, can I take this guy for a milkshake? We went to have a milkshake, once again, 12-year-old conversation. But there was a sense of I could explain to him the things of God and salvation in simplistic words and what just happened. But the thing is, that boy, you said I'm going to cry. Ooh, that boy changed my life, man. Because when he walked in that room, that boy didn't have hair. He came alive in the spirit, but he was fighting for his life with cancer. And there was a sense of, God, save this guy. I knew there was something wrong, and obviously he just stands out. And how there was joy in his heart over receiving Christ, yet behind the scenes he was literally fighting for his life. Fighting for the next day. And 2 weeks later I was at his funeral, man. And I was sitting there and I was weeping and I was crying and I'm like, why? Why? But I had the privilege, and I didn't know how much time I have to love this boy. But that 2 weeks, man, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed loving him. And there's something in us. Do we leap to love everyone and long for them and take pleasure in them? And I'm not saying just because there's a due date of death, but we don't know how long people will come in here and leave, and maybe just a visitor and they're just passing through Cape Town and going back home. But for some of us, let's love well, even if it's one conversation, half an hour, one service, one community. Maybe it's a month. Maybe for some of you, you will cross lines and relationships for a year, 2, 6, 10 years. You don't know how long we have. And to love well in the moment. I remember there was this other guy, and I had the privilege of a year or two after that to plant and to lead a community group. And I don't know what I was doing. All of these comm leaders that think they know what they're doing, they don't actually know what they're doing. But a good place to start is just to love the people that come through your door. And there was this one boy, and a younger guy, and he, every single week, he would come half an hour late to comm, every week. He never came to Sundays, he only came to Wednesdays, and every like once a month to the youth group. And for 3 years, that was the pattern. Came, sat there, every time you would ask a question, we will have a discussion in the comm, he would just say, skip. I'm like, that's awkward again. And it would carry on, and then afterwards, as soon as the amen, I haven't said amen, he was at the door already. He's out. The comm grew a little bit, and there was people at it, and incredible. They're still in the church in Wellington. I was from there for a significant amount of years in Wellington, and they're still there, and there's incredible saints who got added to us, and they just started to take a genuine interest in this little boy. Not that little, but he's a massive guy. But young boy. They started to ask him questions. They started to ask about his hobbies, and usually about gaming. And they just took an interest in him. Later on, they took him for pizza and stuff like that. And then in a week, it was like, I don't know what happened, but in that week, something shifted in him. All of a sudden, he was like 45 minutes to an hour early for community group. We're like, this is weird, man. He's getting ready. He's going to host. People are going to come in. But love, just something. Yo, that was dramatic, eh? It was the Lord. And something just hit in that moment. It's just like a switch went on. A light went on because of persistent love over 3 years. In community, he would speak. Not like we would speak to him. He would speak. He started to come to Sundays. We were like, our community group was like, yeah, we're tight and we're together and we're always packed out a whole row. Our whole com always sits together. When we worshipped around him so that he can worship the Lord. And there was a sense of he's being loved into things of God. After community, the amen hit. He was still at the door. This time he locked it. And we're like, Josh, what are you doing, man? It's like this getting freaky. He's like, no. Hendra and Brigitte blessed us with their house. So we as a community, and he pulled out a roster, are going to wash their dishes. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to serve them because they served us. And now he went to Bible school at Leap. He went to another Bible school in Oxygen Life. He's still in Oxygen Life. And the man is going on for the Lord. Persistent love. Don't despise people just sitting in the corner. They just need to be loved. So, tracking well. Once again, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Well, the prophetic word was John 4. So I would like to answer this question. How did Jesus love? And how are we going to look at that? We're going to look at John 4. Let's turn our Bibles to John 4. And we need to find a little bit of context here. That John 4 is the biggest recorded conversation that Jesus has with the individual that we can read. But John 4 is obviously chapter 4. And just before that is John 3, where Jesus has a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was this religious leader. He was a well-put-together guy. And from the outside, he's like, this is the man. But the whole point of John 3 is to highlight for us that no one is too good that they don't need Jesus. No matter how well put together you are, you need to be loved by Christ into the kingdom. Even for all of us here. No matter how well we try to put ourselves together here and set our church face forward and all of those things, we need Jesus and we need to be loved. And that is on the backdrop of John 4, which we find this woman at the well asking or getting living water at the end to drink from and to be filled. And she is basically a very sinful, rejected woman. And the lesson we find out of that is that no one is too wicked that they can't be loved by God into the kingdom. And those two together is like a perfect picture of the gospel. No matter how good or how near or how far you are, we all need Jesus. So let's look at just some observations and applications, and then we're going to come to a land, as the preacher says. So, John 4, verse 3 to 4, we can put that up. It says the following. He, who is Jesus, left Judea and departed to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. This was about 110 to 130 kilometer walk that he was taking. Samaria was about halfway, so it should have been about a day and a half's walk that Jesus was walking already. But what is important here to note is there's no coincidences in the Bible. We see, if you've seen that, obviously, verse number 4, it says that he had to pass through Samaria. Why that is significant is because back then, the Samaritans and the Jews, where Jesus was from, didn't sit around the same campfire. They actually thought that they are sinners, these Samaritans, and they've intermarried, and they worship idols. And they're just not of us, and we can't associate with these sinners, these loveless people, and we distance ourselves from them. But Jesus, in his divinity, looked at this whole situation. He says, I had to go through there. There was something of love compelling him to go this route and not around that region. Because obviously we know the end of the story. He meets this woman and he loved her into the kingdom of God. And an application for us and what we can take from this is, when last have we been compelled so much by love that our very vocabulary changes, that I just had to come to church. I just had to be there because there will be individuals that I can love. I just had to be there because I long to embrace with the warm affection of Christ the people around me. I had to make space in my calendar for date nights with my wife. We don't just coexist in the house together. We love one another and embrace one another. My children is not just an attachment to my life. They are a part of this thing. Loving them in and making room and making space. And I remember before I was married, there was this very wise woman, and he said, I don't live for my children. It's not in my notes. I don't live for my children. I'm like, where are you going with this? I live with my children. As believers, we don't live for anything else than Christ. We don't live for our children. And there's something beautiful where our children, our marriages, our work, our golf, or whatever you want to put in there. I don't know. I saw the golf course coming here. That's why it came to mind. Maybe you paddle guys. That's not the center of our lives. Christ is. And as we make Him our center and we prioritize a loving relationship with Christ and others, our children see that and there's a sense of, I want that. Because it reflects Christ. It reflects Him. So that's something of the notes. So, I had no other choice. I had to pass through community. I had to pass through on Sunday. Verse 6 says the following. Observing Jesus. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. So as we observe here that Jesus was walking about a day and a half, that's a good way to get your 10,000 steps. He was tired, okay? This is not just a day's work, it's a day's walk. There's a little bit more weariness going on there. That's more than a marathon of walking. That's a lot. So obviously in this moment, physically, he wasn't doing that great, okay? He was human. He didn't flew on a cloud, anything like that. He walked. So physically, he was tired. He had needs in that moment. He needed a nap. When last did you need a nap? Yesterday. I was having a little Lana in the house. Oh, my little Lulu. You don't sleep, eh? We need naps. Jesus needed food, and we see that the disciples went into Samaria to go get food, so he had the need of food. And then also we know the conversation with the woman started, can you give me a drink? He was thirsty. So Jesus in this moment was tired, weary, needed a nap. This wasn't the ideal moment for a chat. On top of that, no coincidences in the Bible, it says that it was about the sixth hour. Just quickly add that in there. Why? 6 hour means it was 12 p.m. This is the Middle East, this Varam. And you and I know how we feel when it's warm. Irritated. Yes. Very irritated. Very uncomfortable. Very sweaty. We don't even want to be around ourselves in that moment. And it just added in there. The heat was also a problem. What is the application? What can we take from that? Life is not kind to us to love. It's not always comfortable to love. It's messy, it's sweaty, we have needs. I know our schedules are full. This is not just another thing that we put on our plates. It's in the midst of this that God did a miracle of loving this woman. Life is not always kind to us. And if we're going to wait for the perfect moment, that ideal moment to love, you're most probably going to wait until Jesus comes back. Because there's always a reason why we should not love. Or why there's something other, or why our capacity is stretched. I want to say every single one of us have 24 hours in a day. We have 7 days in a week. We have the same amount of days in a month. We have the same amount of, it's just how we prioritize that. Who's busy? Everyone. But as a believer, our priorities are set straight on Christ and on His kingdom. And it's in the midst of the messiness and the busyness and the kids and the craziness. Like, literally most days when people come to our house, there's literally millies on the floor. Or some food somewhere. And I'm literally, I'm usually upstairs with the toddler. These days, Mia's our first one, is just all over the show. She never wants to sleep. So I'm just like trying to get into bed. It's always messy. But Christ. the people. What type of woman was this woman? And the Lord is going to place people around us. It's going to be like Holy Spirit sandpaper to us. It's like, enough. When these people come close to us, it's not that comfortable. It's like, I used to call them grace growers, okay? And they're usually in the form of a leader or the form of a comm member or form of a family member or form of a child going through a certain season that your personality struggles with. May that be baby. I'm the baby guy. Like, I struggle with that because they can't speak to me. So that sound of crying is all I hear and I can't figure it out. That drives me crazy. But then we get, not that that child can go on. That's fine. I'm not saying now. I'm like, really fine. Toddler, I love toddler again because they have a certain amount of words. But all of that, what type of person was this woman? This woman was that type of person that you ask her for one little drink, 30 minutes later, you're still trying to get out of the conversation. Everyone knows that Tani Uwumi. Just like, I just asked, where is Cape Gate? And you're still going on about your granddaughter and about this and about that, and you speaking about the army days. I'm like, I'm the modern day guy. I didn't go to the army. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, and there's so much, and it's so it's not an easy conversation. Literally, go read the Bible. Jesus just says, can I get a drink? And she's like, why are you? It's like, oh my God, girl, just wait. So she sidetracks the conversation multiple times, even though Jesus wants to, obviously, she engaged with the conversation. He tries to pull it to the things of God. And she's speaking about worshiping on hills. And Jesus derailing this conversation all over the show. He points out sin. She goes to another direction, just like, we're never going to get this woman into heaven. It's just like she's running around the gate, but never through the gate. It's just all over. Then she was a broken woman, okay? Maybe a little bit more serious. She seeked deep approval. And this thing that we heard this morning of drinking and thirsty, she was deeply thirsty for approval. That's why she had five husbands, or on number five. There was a sense that she longed for the approval of a man in her life. And that's actually just a pinpoint of a deeper longing for God. She was thirsty, and all of us sitting here, we're thirsty for something. That something is a somebody, which is Christ. But we fill it with trying to find it with purpose in this world. But it will never satisfy. And that's what Jesus tried to point it towards. Not this life, but the next life. There you will be satisfied. This conversation wasn't socially acceptable. Loving people will not always be socially acceptable. I love it when people are a little bit rough around the edges. I remember a guy... off my notes again, but coming the Wednesday morning, okay, getting saved, literally two people walking to prayer meeting, they invited him with, he saw the life of God on the prayer meeting and got saved that morning, Wednesday morning. They said, Hendrik, can he come to your community? I'm like, great. That evening we found out, this was Wednesday, last Friday he came out of jail. I'm like, oh, near lekker, he got us, no. But not for stealing a packet of knickknacks for raping someone. And all the girls are like, near lekker, now he knows where we live. And I'm like, but this guy's speaking about Jesus and he got saved this morning. I loved it. I'm like, anyone and everyone into the kingdom of God. And there was a sense of no matter the background, no matter the brokenness, you have a place in the household of God. So what does this mean for us? 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And I think for us to be able to love people, this morning we need to come to the deep and great realization that I am that woman. You and I thirst for the things of this world. Long to be the approval of people and the approval of someone that will say that you belong. And if we know that God and people have loved us like that into the kingdom, we are able to mirror that to others and say, I'll do likewise to you. We can love, and that's what it means. We can love because we know where God took us from. And I'm ending off with this scripture. John 4:31-34 says the following. And it's the end of the chapter. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. So the disciples came back from Samaria. They brought food. And he's like, okay, you were hungry. You were thirsty. All of those things. Here is your food. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. This would irritate me so much. I'm like, Jesus, what say you? Where are we going? Like, you told me to get the sourdough. Now we're here. Everything is right. And now you're telling me what's going on. So the disciples said to one another, so now they're starting to chat, this guy is weird, what's going on? Has anyone brought him something to eat? And then Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. As we noted, Jesus was very tired and he was warm. There was a sense that he was in need of a nap, of sleeping, of water, of food. That was how he came into chapter 4. He walked about 50 to 60 kilometers, but afterwards he was satisfied by doing the will of God. And what we need to see this morning, that what you sometimes feel in the natural, you needing a drink, you needing a nap, you needing a little bit of alone time, might not be the thing that your heart really longs for. It might mean that the thing that you actually need to be satisfied and full is to just love someone. Just to stop and to say, okay, I know what I feel now. I know I feel I need a marag slaap. I know I feel that I can't fill one out of my 7 days with this or that. Likewise with Jesus, what he came into the situation was not what he left out with. And it's to love someone. And God redirects our attention to that fact, to love that little boy that walked into you. To love for 3 years that individual that was just sitting here, every visitor coming in here, to make us a beacon of love. Because he commands us, not out of our preference or out of our ideal situation, but in the messy church, in the midst of extending ourselves that slight little bit, just to love, just to invite in, just to take a genuine interest in the person in front of us. It's actually not that hard. It's costly, but it's not that hard. It's very simplistic. It is costly. And I believe that is the word that the Lord has for this congregation to take you into the things of God. Amen. Let's stand and pray together. Maybe we can have the worship guys. I'll give back to Marco just now. And this morning, I said it earlier, but there's an invitation for us. I'm not sure why. I don't know everyone here. I know many of you here, but I know all of you here. And I said earlier that I'm going to ask the invitation to come to Christ. We are never too good not to need Jesus. We're never too bad that God can't come heal us and bind up the brokenhearted and bring us into love and the warmth and the embrace of God. And the good news is extremely simplistic, that even children can understand. And that's why Jesus said, let the little children come to me. So you don't need a lot of knowledge this morning to understand what I'm about to say. The gospel is clear. The good news is clear. You and I need help. That's it. We need help because we know that our CV, if we look across our, in the back, we do not have a good track record. Us having the steering wheel of our lives has brought us only into driving into things. And what God is inviting us into is saying, let me take the steering wheel of your life. I want to take ownership of your heart. Not only take ownership of your heart, but the Bible says that he wants to take out the stony heart, the heart that resists God, who wants to do it in my own way, in my own preference. And God said, I want to give you a new heart. A heart that has my desires and my kingdom in it. So that no longer you just need to have an arts and crafts type of Christianity. You just add on a lot of Christian things. But God wants to come and work in the heart to say that from your innermost beings will well up living waters. There will be a sense that from the inside of your heart, you will now have the ability to live for God. That you call a miracle, and you need God for that. And what God is calling you today is to say, I'm letting go of the steering wheel, and to say, sorry that for so long I've clinged on to that. To say, God, just come. So let's close our eyes. I want to ask if you, we'll get to the church now, but if you are here this morning, and you know that you know that you know, if you look at your life, that you are very much in control of your own life, that you've not handed over your life to the Lord, you've not allowed Him to come and dwell within you, come and live within you, that when you think about God, all you feel is guilty, guilty. I want to say Jesus became guilty on your behalf, that today you can say, I'm free, I'm washed, I'm clean, I'm pure, I'm spotless, I'm made in His image, and probably the biggest of all, I'm loved. I'm loved by my Father. So if that's you, or maybe you've just drifted away and you've taken back the steering wheel from God, just for all eyes closed, between you and God, would you raise your hands that I know I'm praying for? Would you respond to Him today and say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I want to hand over the steering wheel of my life. Is there anyone like that that I can pray for? And we can come around. I'm going to be bold to say that I believe there's two people. There's two people. But the Lord is not into shaming and putting you on the spot. I know it's difficult. I've been there. I've been there. I was such a hardened person when I came to the Lord. I've been there. Wouldn't you come to me or the elders, come to the elders afterwards, and let's just pray together. But just for the church. Loving is a supernatural work of God. I shared it in the prayer meeting as well. I think it's Romans 8 that speaks about that, that by the Spirit, the love of God is poured out into our hearts. It's a work of the Spirit in us and not just something we conjure up. So if you need more love, which is probably all of us, let's just respond to the Lord as I'm just going to pray and I'm going to hand over, but I just want to pray for us. That God would put His stamp, His fingerprint on this congregation and make it a beacon of love in Kells River. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we welcome You to come and do Your work in our hearts. Would You pour out Your love into our hearts that we may reflect You well? Father, this morning we want to start off with a sorry. Oh Lord, we're sorry that we so self-preserve our schedules and the craziness of our lives, Lord, and even listening to this message, it still feels almost impossible. But Father, what seems impossible with man is possible with God. Even the simplistic command of loving. Father, help me to love my family, love my children, love brothers and sisters around me. And Father, I pray for this congregation that we will start to love one person per day. Extend ourselves that little bit, one person a day. Give us one person a day to love. May that be the cashier or the waiter. May that be the person putting in petrol. May that be the visitor coming to church. May that be somebody in my community. May that be my own wife or husband. One person a day, Lord. Come do a miracle in our hearts that we may reflect You well. Father, and I pray, really have faith. By December, Lord, come fill this room. Fill this room, not for numbers or our egos or anything like that, Lord. We don't need that. But for Your name's sake, may we bear much fruit, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
There's just a sense where, you know, where we get a prophetic word, but you also get prophetic actions. And we just feel like there's a sense of, as a congregation, as Kells River, if we can all just interlink arms, as you're standing next to someone, can we?